Well, hello again. I want to welcome you again this week to these lessons about recoding the brain. We're on lesson number 14. Again, I never know if this is going to be the last one or not. I'm doing my best to teach you as he is teaching me, and I'm doing my best to put it into practice. And the subtitle of today's lesson is going to be called this: Seeing with the Spirit. Seeing with the Spirit. Now, all of this has to do with recoding the brain. Now, let me, I can't review 13 lessons, but I can mention a few things that are important to make sure you have in your foundation for today's lesson. We were studying the apostles, the 12, and really, I guess, the 11 after Judas. And how these were natural men. None of these were born again yet. They loved the Lord. They served the Lord. They left everything to follow the Lord. Thank God for them. But see, they were hand-trained by Jesus for 3.5 years. They saw what he did. Then he would send them to do what he did. And the first time it ever happened, I'm sure it shocked them. You know, they laid hands on somebody and they got healed in the name of Jesus, because the Lord had placed his mantle as Lord and Christ on them. And I remember that one time they came back and they said, Lord, you can almost feel the excitement in their voice. They said, Lord, even the devils were subject to us in your name. In other words, it's almost like, Lord, did you know those devils had to obey us when we spoke in your name? And again, I don't know if Jesus did eye rolls, but it's almost like, yes, I know. I saw him fall out of heaven the first time, and I saw him taken down. I saw in the spirit. I saw while you were ministering, I saw that. But don't rejoice in this. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But not the point is, these men were hand-trained by Jesus. So there was a lot, when the first time they ever saw Jesus do a miracle or heal a person, the first time they ever saw it, they saw it. Now remember how you got two minds here. You got the 3.5 pound brain, which is pretty much limited to the things of this world. It believes what it sees, touches, tastes, feels, whatever you touch, you know, all of the 5 physical senses. That's pretty much what it believes. And even with the 12, you know, again, when Mary came and said, he's risen, I've seen him, we don't believe you. When Mary and the women came, we've seen him, he's risen, we don't believe you either. The 2 men from Emmaus came, we've seen him, he's risen, don't believe you, I don't know why you're lying to me. Then he appeared to the 10, because Thomas wasn't there that day, and they tell Thomas, he's risen, we've seen him, I don't know why you're lying to me. I won't believe you till I have to put my finger in the palm print of his hand, I have to touch the place where they pierced him in his side, I won't believe it. But finally, Jesus appears to Thomas, and Thomas believes. He, you know, my Lord and my God. Well, thank God. And Jesus says to him, now all this is review. We've been over this time and again. Jesus says unto him, Thomas, you are blessed because you believe because you have seen. And in the King James, it just says blessed, but if in the Greek, it actually says even more blessed are those who have believed, having not seen. So again, every time that the apostles saw Jesus do a miracle, a neural pathway was created in their brain because they saw it with their own eyes. Then as he hand trained them, when they saw the first miracle through their hands, dendrites, neural pathways. Oh, I've seen this with my own eyes. When I lay hands on these people in the name of Jesus, they get healed. And so they saw miracles with the natural brain, and even the natural brain recorded that because it saw it with its own eyes. It's okay, I've seen this. So it's one thing to see, you know, once the apostles were baptized in the Holy Ghost, how they continued on, because in the ministry and many people being sick. In fact, it got to the point that the Holy Ghost was so emanating, the presence of God was so emanating from Peter, he could just walk down the street, and if you got your sick person within shadow length, they got healed. God, give us some of that again today. Well, hopefully we're going there. You might be the one. Who knows? So, okay, I was meditating all of that, and we've taught a lot on that, and how the even in the natural brain, you know, once it starts seeing the miracles, man, now it's seen it with its own eyes, can I say it that way? And that's when neural pathways are created. But then I got to meditating, well, what about Paul? He didn't even get saved on the road to Damascus until about 8 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. So he most certainly was not hand-trained by Jesus. He didn't follow Jesus and see the miracles done by, in fact, he thought Jesus was an imposter. He thought he was some kind of a charlatan, you know, and that's why he was convinced. He thought he was doing God a service by trying to stamp out Christianity. He thought it was all a hoax, a fraud, somehow, a magician. that's why he was going around trying to stamp it out and arresting Christians and everything. See, and then he had a dendrite encounter. He had a neural pathway encounter on the road to Damascus. He saw the light. He heard the voice. It was such a thing that it blinded him for a season. But he had a physical, sensory encounter with the Lord. And who are you? And I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. What would you have me do? And he gave him instruction, you know, a little bit where to go. And then God spoke to a man named Ananias who came and laid his hands on him, and Paul received his sight and got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, that's how it started. But see, now even that was a physical, there was sensory input that caused neural pathways in Paul's brain when it comes to know, okay, this is real. Jesus really is alive. He spoke to me. I felt his power. All of that, see, the natural brain will record anything like that. It said, this is true, this is true, this is true, because you experienced it for yourself. But then, you know, Paul began preaching, it says in the book of Acts, and all the churches, and he apparently was pretty fiery and legalistic or whatever, I don't know, but it says, man, there was great trouble in the church. Barnabas has to kind of, you know, take him back to his hometown eventually, and what we read there is, Paul spent about 3.5 years in the wilderness, I think mainly being trained. But now here's the thing. He was not trained by the physical Jesus, because Jesus had ascended back into heaven over 8 years ago. How is he being trained? I was pondering that, and the Holy Spirit began speaking to me. And so I'm going to just read to you what I heard, and I record those when they come. And whenever, if I can, and then later I type them out. So here's, this is very recent. This was February 17th of 2025, and I was meditating on these very things. And the Lord began speaking. The Holy Ghost began through tongues and interpretation, said to me, and is saying to you, I believe. And anyway, for Paul did not have the opportunity to see with his own eyes the hundreds of healings like you described with your hypothetical man in the teachings. I hope you remember a few lessons back, we talked about a man. I said, can you pretend with me that there was a man who decided to go to all 7 of those meetings that I teach about pretty often, where it plainly says Jesus healed them all, or it says something like they brought all the sick to him and he healed them. Well, if he healed them, that they brought, he healed them all. Okay. So we hypothetically, well, you know, what if somebody went, someone who's not born again, but he went and saw all 7 of those meetings, and he saw that every single person that came to Jesus for healing was healed. He didn't turn away any of them. He didn't turn, you know, there was nice people, grumpy people, people there that maybe argued with their wife that morning. but he didn't turn away any of them. Anyone who came to Jesus for healing, they got what they came for. So this man saw that with his own eyes. So that's the teaching that the Holy Spirit is referencing here. So I'm going to start again now that you know who the hypothetical man is, for sure. For Paul did not have the opportunity to see with his own eyes the hundreds of healings like you describe described with your hypothetical man in the teachings. Understand that my word is supernatural. Your spiritual mind has the capacity to see with the eyes of your understanding things that you have not yet seen with your natural eyes. Okay? See, Paul was trained by the Holy Spirit. In a previous lesson, I was complaining, you remember, on this is not fair. Peter got to walk with you. John got to walk with you. They were hand trained by you. They heard everything that came directly from your mouth. I was having my pity party that day. It was a long time ago. And then the Holy Ghost, after I, you know, stopped my whining, he said to me, well, what about Paul? He came to the point he knew Jesus better than Peter, because Paul had to correct Peter. And Paul was trained by the Holy Spirit, not the physical Jesus. You have the same teacher that Paul had, and you can know Jesus as well as Paul. Dagger through all my unbelief and all my complaining and whining. I had the same teacher that the Apostle Paul had. Perhaps I should go pray. So perhaps I should meditate the word like Paul did. Perhaps I should pray in the spirit like Paul did. He said, into the letter to the Corinthians, he plainly says, I speak in tongues more than all of you put together. Where do you think he got the understanding from? Okay, that's another lesson. Second paragraph in what he said to me. This is part of the seeing and saying that Jesus describes how he himself functioned. He would see and hear with his spiritual mind first. He would see it with his spiritual mind first. Then he would speak, he would say, lay hands upon, and do the things that he did to minister to the people. Remember one time he spit and made clay and put it on the guy's eyes? But first, it says here, he would see and hear with his spiritual mind first. He would see it first. Then he would say and lay hands upon and do the things that he did to minister to the people. Now, I'm continuing with what he said here. What you see with your spirit becomes what you shall see with your natural eyes and what others will see that are watching. Okay, I added that are watching. He said, and what others will see. Third paragraph. Know that my word is spirit. My word is life. It has the capacity still to create all things whatsoever I have spoken. Preach my word. I will provide the testimony. But see it ahead of time with the eyes of your understanding. See me, now this next sentence is changing my life. Well, it's all changing my life, but this one. See me doing what I always do through my son. I want to say that again. See me, he's talking about with your spiritual mind. See me doing what I always do through my son, who now abides in you, says the Lord. See me doing what I always do through my son, who now abides in you, says the Lord. But he doesn't just abide in me, he abides in you too. If you're born again, Christ is in you. That's the mystery of the gospel. Wow. See, Jesus himself said, and I didn't look up all these scriptures. He's not really letting me do much preparation ahead of time. You're welcome. Free to look them up for yourself. But Jesus said, the Son of himself can do nothing. He says, what I see, that's what the Son does likewise. What I see the Father do, that's what the Son does. And what he says, even the words that I speak to you, they're not my own. What I hear the Father say, that's what I say unto you. Now, for years and years in my meditations, I wondered, Okay, when he says, I don't do anything but what I see my father do it. Well, I wondered, like, is that, you know, like individually on each person that would come to him for healing? Did he like check with the father, what, show me, Father, what do you want to do? Or however it would happen. Or maybe pray ahead of time and God would show him, which I've seen that. I've had that happen in my life too. So have other ministers. But I had this, you know, meditation wandering in my heart. Well, was it a person by person thing as they would come? But see, eventually Jesus said to Philip said, just show us the Father. Okay. Would you just show us the Father? And Jesus said back to him, Philip, listen, have I been with you all this time for nothing? Like, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He said, I don't want to misquote it. He said, see me doing what I always do through my Son. Years ago, I did a study on purpose. I went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for myself meticulously. I didn't rely on anybody's books or anybody that did it before. Although I know countless thousands probably have. I needed to know for myself. So I went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I was on a mission to find out, did Jesus ever turn away anybody for any reason that came to him for healing? And the answer, you can do it for yourself. You're going to find out the same thing. No, he did not. Now, that does not mean that when he would walk through a village, that every sick person in the village got healed, because that's not the case. But what is the case is all who came to him, like if he had a meeting and they came to him, or if they had just approached him in between meetings, like the leper or like the woman with the issue of blood and others. If the point is, whether it was in a meeting or privately, if they came to Jesus for healing, miracle like born blind and receive your sight, that's more than a healing, I think. That's a creative miracle. The end result, though, I found out for myself. You can go check it for yourself. There is not a single time did Jesus ever turn away anybody for any reason who came to him for healing. They all got what they came for. And then I did that hypothetical man, you know, who went to all seven of those meetings. And some of those meetings, it says, you know, some of them were at Peter's house. I don't know how many, you know, one of them anyway was there. I don't know how many people, but I don't know, probably not that many, maybe 100, maybe less. But it plainly says on several of those meetings that there were great multitudes. Well, when it uses that phrase, you know, like feeding the 5,000, the multitudes, you know, and not counting women and children. So how many was in that group? How big was that meeting? 10,000, 15,000? Don't know. A lot. Well, how many sick people would they be bringing? You know, hundreds and hundreds. So I came up with the idea of this hypothetical man, you know, somebody who made up their mind that they're going to go to all seven of those meetings, and that with their own eyes, with their own eyes, they saw it again and again. By the time you went to all seven, you saw hundreds, if not thousands, of people come to be healed. And you saw it was first time, every time. No exceptions. Every single one of them got healed. That's what we call a Jesus meeting. Whew. I'm looking forward to having some of those, and we're going to have a lot of those. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit, and that's how he starts us off, and we're to respect and honor the gifts of the Spirit and covet earnestly the best gifts, but yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And that's the love chapter, where we come to the place where, in fact, let me read you another thing that he said to me. Now, this was a long time ago. But he was saying, in fact, I'll tell you wonder how long ago this was? 1987. I'm still trying to possess this land, you know. Still trying to fully possess it. Possessed it some. But he said, the Lord is leading us in the paths of reality. reality of the spirit that controls all material things. It is a painful process. Remember that the word says, through much tribulation we do enter the kingdom of God. And this is the kingdom of reality from God's point of view. He continues here, we are born again, but this speaks of walking in that supernatural realm where the living Christ can flow through your flesh. Did you hear that? Where the living Christ, the Son who is in you, the living Christ can flow through your flesh to meet the needs of a dying, sick, and hurting humanity. To enter that realm, there is a pushing and a bursting through and an exploding forth of the Spirit through the veil of the flesh. It is a work of my Spirit and a work of my grace and not your efforts. No amount of self-appointed holy actions on your part will ever produce these things that your heart desires. Now notice, but only this growth process. Maturity, I'm adding that word, but only this growth process. What's the end result of growth? Maturity. But only this growth process whereby you let me, as the potter, mold the clay. This is the process. I am doing those things that are needful to bring to pass those deep desires and longings of your heart, saith God. I can tell you right now, I know what my deep desires and deep longings is to see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John restored in the earth, where we have Jesus meetings, where the world doesn't have to just depend on what we say. You know, Jesus said, well, believe me because of what I said, or believe me for the very work's sake. Well, he gave them the opportunity to believe based on the works. We need to give the world the opportunity to believe based on the works. That's the kind of deep desires. I knew what he was talking about. He said, trust me during this growth process. And what if I said maturing process? Let the Maker have his way with you and trust him. You are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who are applauding and cheering, saying, we too had to go through this growth process. The instrument being prepared shall be used mightily of the Lord. Wow. I love how he words things. I'm not smart enough to word things the way he does. It's pretty easy for me to tell when this happens. Okay, that's not me. Gary's not that smart. Gary's not that quick. I love how he worded this. Walking in that supernatural realm where the living Christ can flow through your flesh to meet the needs of a dying, sick, and hurting humanity. Boy, if that's not revival, if that is not exactly what we're pressing toward. So he was showing me that the Apostle Paul now started off with a physical sensory input on the road to Damascus. He saw a light. He heard the voice. He went blind. I mean, you talk about sensory input. Okay, Jesus is real. Dendrites, neural pathways. I got knocked off my horse. I went blind. And sure enough, this man named Ananias came, laid hands on me, and I received my sight, and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But see, he's still not trained. That happened to him. And Paul was mighty in the scriptures. I mean, this guy was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, which meant, man, he probably had memorized the first five books of the Bible. He could quote them from memory, you know. So he had the word on the inside of him for the Holy Spirit to work with. But boy, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost and he began speaking in other tongues, and especially during that time, you know, he went right out like most of us, full of zeal. I want to go preach, you know. Whatever was going on, it said it caused up so much trouble in the church. Barnabas kind of, okay, we need to take you aside for a while. You need training. Brought him back eventually to Troas. And we don't hear about Paul for about the next 3.5 years. And I'm sure that during that time of training, So much praying in the Holy Ghost, so much reading the word that he had, which is the Old Testament. And he says, I didn't confer, later on, I didn't look these verses up. You can look them up. But Paul said, in the beginning, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I didn't go and sit down in the classroom of Peter or James or John. He was trained directly by Jesus, but by the method of the Holy Ghost. Primarily, he had the written word, the Old Testament, and he had the Holy Ghost. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? He said, well, he's the Spirit of truth. And he is the one that's going to guide you into all truth. And I'm sure that's exactly what he did with the Apostle Paul. So Paul did not have the opportunity to see Jesus empty people from cots and beds and open blind. Jesus had already been gone to heaven 8 years before Paul even got saved. So how did he come to the place where it's obvious that he would lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. He raised the dead one time for crying out loud. During one of his preachings that we went through at Lystra a few weeks ago, this man was born, he was a birth defect, born a cripple from his mother's womb, never had walked, it said never. But Paul was preaching with such truth and such anointing of the Holy Ghost that a crippled man who had never walked, it says Paul perceived he had faith to be healed. Stand up right on thy feet. And the guy does. And instantly the power is released and those whatever it was, crippled with his feet. One of the things we've been told is to expect instant manifestations. Whether we always see it or not, I don't know. But we're told to expect it. Well, that sure happened there. Instant manifestations. And this adult man who had never walked, the power of God so hit him, his legs and his feet, that he could stand and jump and walk like normal people. Glory to God. Give us some of that. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get us there. But see, Paul was trained by this method. He didn't get to follow around and see with his natural eye. Well, Jesus did 1,000 miracles. I've seen them all. He didn't see any of them. So how did it happen that he could believe? He saw it first in the Spirit. He was trained by the Holy Ghost. He saw these things in spirit first. Then he went out. And when he would act and lay hands, it would happen. And of course, as that happens, every time that you actually see the miracle or see the manifestation, of course, that makes a neural pathway in your brain because now you experienced it yourself. But see, we're in that transition right now. Most of us have, other than the gifts, most of us have never, I don't know of anybody that's ever been to a Jesus meeting where you had quite a few people and every single person got healed, every single one. I've never been to one. I doubt you've been to one, unless it was a very small group. Now, Paul was in that dilemma too. Here he is 3.5 years in the wilderness. He's not actually seeing this with his natural eye, but he's seeing it with his spiritual eye. Just exactly. He was trained by this very method. Now, here we go. The lesson that's coming up to me is the servant upon horses thing. Because now here his spiritual mind, the real him, he who is the prince, we're kings and priests, we are royalty, so is Paul, the born-again Paul. He is seeing and believing with his spirit, but he's got a natural 3.5 brown brain just like the rest of us, that it's going, well, fine for you, but I'm not going to believe it till I see it. What I see right here is where you have to make sure that the 3.5 pound brain remains the servant walking alongside the horse. He can't make the decisions. The spiritual mind, the one that is trained by God, the one that is born of God, what the Bible calls the mind of Christ, the mind that is capable of really understanding kingdom things, it has to have the reins on the horse. We are going to pray for the sick, and we will see them recover. And the natural mind goes, bet me. Yeah, bet me. I don't know about that. Well, that's the natural brain. And if you listen to it, you'll never wind up praying for the sick. All right, so getting back to this instruction that I just, most recent one that I received, he says, can I just read that again? That's just the third paragraph at least. Okay, I'm going to read the whole thing. I'm going to try and read it this time without commenting. Let this feed into your spirit. You don't need my input, really. It's more important that we receive what the Holy Ghost says than anything I say anyway. I'm just going to read this, and it will be included eventually in a PDF for you. For Paul did not have the opportunity to see with his own eyes the hundreds of healings like you described with your hypothetical man in the teachings. Understand that my word is supernatural. Your spiritual mind has the capacity to see with the eyes of your understanding things that you have not seen yet with your natural eyes. This is part of the seeing and saying that describes how Jesus himself functioned. He would see and hear with his spiritual mind first. Then he would say, lay hands upon, and do the things he did to minister to the people. What you see with your spirit becomes what you shall see with your natural eyes, and what others will see. Know that my word is spirit. My word is life. It has the capacity still to create all things whatsoever I have spoken. Preach my word. I will provide the testimony. But see it ahead of time with the eyes of your understanding. See me doing what I always do through my Son, who now abides within you, says the Lord. Well, reading that again, he brought me back. I never did finish up the thought pattern, where in the early days I wondered if Jesus would see. He said, I don't do anything but what I see my Father do. In the early days, I thought, well, every person, are you going to heal this one? Do you want to heal the next one? Do you want to heal the next one? Do you want to? I thought, well, maybe it was like that. Like, okay, you want to heal this one? You don't want to heal that one. But after going through that assignment that I did through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I found out Jesus healed them all. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What does that tell you about the Father's will? What does that tell you about the Father? It's the Father's will for every person who comes to Jesus to be healed. We've not seen that. I've never seen that demonstrated 100% of the time, but I can't deny the word, and I'm not going to lower the word down to my experience. My experience eventually is going to rise to where the word is. So when Jesus says that, I don't do anything except what I see my Father doing. Did you see how he worded that? He said, see me doing what I always do through my Son. What did he always do with the sick? What did he always do through his Son? Every single one of them got healed. He didn't turn away a one. Now, he didn't carte blanche walk through the city or the village or whatever it was. And as he walked by, every person in the bedrooms or whatever, you know, or the hospital even, got healed without coming to Jesus, you know, without approaching him. But it is true that every single person that came to a meeting or approached him privately to be healed, every single one, and some of them by intercession. He just reminded me of the centurion. He said, I have a servant sick unto death at home. He's very valuable to me. Well, he came to get healing for his servant. We don't know anything about that servant. He may have been a really bad guy. We don't know. Didn't matter. He came to Jesus for healing for somebody else, and even he got it. Jesus spoke the word only. In fact, he bragged on that guy. Said, I've not seen faith like this anywhere else in Israel. This guy's not even a Jew. He's a Gentile, but he's got the highest faith of anybody I've met. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Glory to God. And he was. Whew. Shandalamai. I love that sentence. I can know I keep going back to it. He said, see me doing what I always do through my son, who now abides in you. Joel's army, we have an assignment. We're being trained by the same teacher who trained the Apostle Paul. I've got the same Holy Ghost that Paul had. You've got the same Holy Ghost that Paul had. We actually have more because we have the epistles, which contains revelation knowledge that they received that we don't have to press through and receive. It's already there for us. But we've got the same teacher. Now, what often happens, and it's happened with me, is I did not allow the Lord to take me through the growth process. Now, what do you mean by what he calls the growth process? Well, when he spoke some of these things to me, there was way, but we didn't start attending Dave Roberson's church until 1992. This was 1987. But what I was doing, even at that time, long before myself and another man, charismatic believer. In fact, he was the pastor of the church I was going to at the time. He's already gone on to be with the Lord in heaven now. But we would set ourselves aside. I had a little office, a little construction office at that time. We still had the construction business. And we would gather together there, and we would pray for 2 hours, sometimes a minimum 2 hours, sometimes three or four. And we'd pray and listen. And pray and listen. And this was before I ever had never heard Dave teach distinguishing God's voice, but I had been reading Oral Roberts' books. You know, Oral Roberts plainly says that he says, I didn't know how to build a university. I didn't know how to fund a university. I don't know anything about that. I wasn't trained by man how to do it. God told me how to do it. So, well, what do you mean God told you how to do it? Well, he said, I would pray in tongues and ask for the interpretation, and slowly over time it came. And I would write down everything he said, and I would do what he said. And we have Oral Roberts University. You'd pray in tongues and then ask for the interpretation. Okay, Gary started praying in tongues and asking for the interpretation. It didn't always, you know, it didn't happen every time, but it started happening. And that's how these things that I'm reading to you from 1986 and 1987 came. Long time before I ever met Dave Roberson. Well, Dave Roberson took what little bit of knowledge I had, and oh my Lord, he was a treasure trove of revelation knowledge, and we so loved Dave because Dave's in heaven now, enjoying his reward. Dave, though, he never wanted to be Lord. He wasn't trying to make followers. He wanted us to learn. He wanted us to learn how to follow Jesus by the Holy Spirit, and everything he did was trying to train us how to do that. And I thank God, I feel like the most blessed person on earth that I got to sit under his ministry for about a quarter century, just a little more. Well, anyhow, now, but even in Dave's meetings, thank God Dave flowed in the gifts of the Spirit more than any man I personally knew. I don't know that he rose to the level of a John G. Lake or a Smith Wigglesworth. Boy, we saw lots and lots of miracles, not only here in Tulsa. When Dave would travel, go to Brazil and other places, those gifts manifested everywhere he went. But I don't ever remember. And by the gifts of the Spirit, many times, you come, you might get healed, you might not get healed. We saw many people get healed, many, 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 and I don't want to discount that. And I saw two people raised from the dead in Dave's ministry. But we also saw some failures. I've told you before about this. A family brought their sick baby, still in the arms type child. Dave prayed, I prayed, all of the elders prayed, the whole church was praying, and that baby died. Well, that would never, just tell it like it is, that would never have happened in a Jesus meeting. Just wouldn't have. It would never have happened in a Jesus meeting. How do you know that? Read your Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were all healed every single one that came to Jesus, all of, didn't matter, young, old, fat, skinny, nice person, not so nice person, argued with his spouse that morning, didn't matter. Not one of them left without being healed. Not one. That's a Jesus meeting. There, I'm going to say it again. They were all healed first time, every time, no exceptions. That's exactly what's going to happen in this end time revival. And you are part of the army that it's going to happen through. Because he truly is now pouring out his spirit on all flesh. And he is teaching us by his spirit how to let Jesus, let's read it again how he said it, so that the living Christ can flow through your flesh to meet the needs of a dying, sick, and hurting humanity. Now, what I just started to say, and he's bringing it back to my mind, most of us have zeal more than we have maturity. And so we rush out, okay, he said, well, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Well, I've seen that happen sometimes, even through these hands. But I've also seen times when I pray for the sick and they die. Does that sound like a Jesus meeting to you? I don't think so. Well, what does that tell you? Well, Gary is still limited by the gifts. And he's not walking in the maturity where Jesus has come in, you know, Christ in me has taken over. I must decrease and he must increase. It's really like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, and I hope I quote it nearly correctly. It didn't let me look any of these up. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul's trying to describe, okay, I died. We all died. You were baptized into his death when you became a believer. You died. Really, you're dying to the species of Adam. Raised to new life in Christ, quickened again, born again. He says, so I'm crucified with Christ. Well, nevertheless, I, Paul, I live. Well, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So it's, I died, I'm alive, but it's not really the same I. Christ lives in me. It's a Christ to me. I don't know that that's grammatically correct. It's me and it's Christ. I'm not a child anymore. When I began this, you know, he's talking about graduating from gifts to maturity. He says in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, I acted like a child. But when I become a man, or you could say when I grew up, or you could say, when I came to maturity, I put away childish things. We're coming to a maturity in Christ where it's going to be, okay, it's Gary. Well, now I remember Gary. It's not really Gary. It's Christ in me. He is, his eyes influence what I see. His thinking influences what I think. His power resides in me. Remember all those teachings about we are the temple of the Holy Ghost? And really that word there is not just temple, it means the Holy of Holies. You are literally the Holy of Holies. Your physical body is like the Holy of Holies with legs. Everywhere you go, you're taking Christ in the form of the Shekinah glory in you. Just like the Shekinah glory dwelt behind that curtain. Well, now the Shekinah, Jesus, by way of the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, say it that way, everywhere you go, you are the Holy of Holies. You're bringing the very presence of God. Right. He's trying to get this to us where we'll really understand it. So the instruction that he's given me here in this most recent one is, let me read that last paragraph again. No, the second paragraph. This is part of the seeing and saying that describes how Jesus himself functioned. Okay, I still didn't say it. So when Jesus says, I only do what my Father, what I see my Father do, it's not individually. He says, no, my Father wants to heal them all. I know what his will is, because he healed them all. It wasn't like, do you want to heal this one and not that one? No, he healed them all. And he did it in the next meeting. He healed them all. And all seven of those meetings that I teach on pretty often from Matthew, all seven of them. And if you were there and you saw it, you go, well, you only got one conclusion. If Jesus is, Jesus didn't do anything that wasn't the will of the Father. So if you see, you know, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and he heals them all seven times in a row. And some of those meetings had thousands of people. Even your natural dendrite brain, your natural neural pathways are going, it's the Father's will to heal us all. Well, I end that teaching by saying, what would that guy who went to all seven of those meetings and saw everybody healed every time, no exceptions, and he had a sick cousin, what would he go tell that cousin? Cuz, I've been to all seven of these meetings. I'm telling you, if you come to Jesus, he will heal you. Isn't that what anybody would say? You know, now he was doing it from because he saw it with his natural eye. God's trying to get us to where we believe this with our spiritual mind first. And our natural mind is just going to have to walk along there until it starts seeing it. Because I'll tell you the truth, it's a big disappointment. When you run out with zeal ahead of your maturity, like I have and like most ministers have. I told you before, you need to preach more boldly. That's your problem, Brother Gary. Okay. I'm telling poor people, I've almost drug them out of wheelchairs, you know. They're trying to stand and trying to drag them out. And it just, the truth of the matter was, it wasn't happening. Why? Because Gary was still limited to the gifts of the Spirit. And that's totally as the Spirit wills. And I don't have all the answers for that. All I know is it didn't happen. Now see, what happens there is you know what your natural brain says? You prayed for somebody and they did not get healed. You know what this says? I told you it wouldn't work. See, and that happening so much is why most of the church world says either, well, you just don't know if it's always God's will to heal. Why? What are they basing that on? Well, some got healed, some didn't. Or they'll go worse than that and they say, oh, the day of healings and supernatural healing and miracles is over. That ended when the apostles died. See, that's where you're letting circumstances and what you see lower the standard of the Word of God. And I just refuse to do that. We're going to leave Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John right where it is. Jesus is the mark, nothing else. Nothing I've ever seen is the mark. Jesus is the mark, and we're not going to lower the standard. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. So I've done that. I've prayed for people that didn't get healed. All that is showing the level of immaturity that Gary is. That's not showing that God's a liar or his word isn't true. It means I didn't allow him to do what he told me way back there in 86 and 87. Allow the maker, the potter, to mold the clay. Allow this growth process. Allow this path to maturity. Meditate the word. And it really comes down to what we call the four pillars. Meditate the word of God. Assimilate the word. Everything to do with the word of God. Pray in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit time to teach you the mysteries of the kingdom of God. In plain English, teach you how this works, which is exactly what we've been doing in these lessons. He's teaching me. I'm doing my best to teach you. And then, see, got to put in fasting. Fasting, I'm telling you, is important. Strongholds. I can't, you know, everyone has different things, you know, based on their history and based on their flesh. It was not any point in me telling you, but I'm telling you right now, fasting has had a part to play in overcoming strongholds in my life. Things that I used to think, I'll never be able to stop that. I did. And fasting had a major part to do with it. Now, you know that part where he says no amount of holy actions on your part will cut. What he means is it's not based on your church attendance. It's not based on how much money you give. It's not based on this or that. He's not saying Because he says in that same thing, allow this growth process, the maturity process. Well, that's the four pillars. The Word of God, praying in the Spirit, worship and fasting. Those are the four things that when you do those things, now you're allowing the Holy Spirit to mortify the flesh, put that rascal down where it needs to be, and allow you to, you know, what is, you're not going to change Jude verse 20, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost is important. It helps you understand personally the mysteries of God. Hallelujah. How are we doing on time? Well, we're still doing pretty good. So let me give you an assignment this week. See, I don't know what you're believing for. I don't know, maybe you're healthy and strong. Maybe it's finances where you need a problem or where you need help. Maybe you're still struggling with pornography or other things. I am telling you, the Word of God, the answer is in the Word of God. You can find these exceeding great and precious promises where whom the Son makes free is free indeed and all those type of things. I love John chapter 8, verse 12, I think it is, where he says, those that believe on me shall not walk in darkness, for they shall have the light of life. Whew, boy, there's a promise. There's a promise right there. So you've been born again. You've got the light of life. In Romans chapter 8, Paul refers to it as the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. There's a promise for you. But see, I read those and read those, and I was still, at one point in my life, I was still smoking and other things that we shall not discuss today. Thank God, though, you keep at it. And the Holy Spirit, man, you just keep at it. And more that you're building yourself up on the inside and you're mortifying the flesh on the outside. And things that I used to think, oh, I can't quit that. That's just who I am. No, it's not. I can't even conceive of doing that again. I mean, there's no temptation to it whatsoever. Mortify. Absolutely mortify. No. Alan Taylor uses the example of going out to we have a lot of cows in Oklahoma. It'd be like going out to a cow pasture and getting one of those warm, steamy cow pies, Spray, put some whipped cream and a cherry on top. Say, here, eat some of this. No. Why? Well, it's repulsive to you. Things that I used to love are repulsive to me now by doing the four pillars. They're repulsive to me now because my character is being molded into the image of Christ. One of my best friends, he still says this, he says, look, anything that you find in me that you like, he said, that's where Jesus has transformed me to that, his image and that part of me. Anything in me that you don't like, he's still working on that part. And I'm pretty sure that's right for all of us. Well, I want to encourage you. Yes, sir. Oh, yes, this is important. Now, see, every time that you, maybe you've done it too. Maybe you've prayed for somebody and they didn't get healed. And I've been at it so long. I mean, I can tell you plainly, I prayed for people and they died eventually, Well, every time that happens, who registers that? And that's the 3.5 pound brain. It's going, I told you not to be believing this stuff. It'll tell you truth is only what you see. Truth is only what you feel. That's my brothers and sisters. That is the very definition of living by sight. That is not the truth. We know what truth is. Jesus said, number one, I am the truth. But he also said in John 17, in that prayer, the high priestly prayer to the Father, he said, Father, thy word is truth. Jesus is the word made flesh. That's why he says, I am the truth. If I'm going to go by what I see, by what this 3.5 pound brain tells me based on I prayed for that person and they died. This will tell me you can't always know the will of God because you prayed and they died. But truth tells me he heals it's the will of God to heal every single person that comes to him for healing. What makes you say that? How can you possibly say that? Because that is what Jesus showed us. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I know the will of the Father to heal every single one that comes to Jesus, which means come to you and you pray for them. Not that you're Jesus, but Christ is in. Where are they going to come? In the Old Testament, where'd they go? They go to the temple. Hello, temple. But it's not you, it's Christ in you. See, Christ in you. He said that the living Christ flow through your flesh to heal them. And the will of God is that all of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He healed all that came to him, and he still will. If we allow the Holy Spirit to bring us to that same maturity where we're having Jesus meetings, where Christ can come, this maturing process comes to the place where he can fully flow through our flesh the way he flowed through his own body. See, we are the body of Christ. He wants to flow through our flesh the same way he flowed through his own flesh when he had his own body. We're his body now. That's Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. Present him this body. My goal is to present every day, Lord, here's a body. I've kept it holy. It's not involved in any sin, Lord. It's holy, so it will be acceptable for your use. Then, now we're in the process of renewing the mind. Be no longer conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of the mind. Now, renewing of the mind. He's talking about this mind that's able to understand and comprehend the things of God, that you may be able to prove, and that means really by experience, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, what's the perfect will of God? We've been maybe living in the good or the acceptable, but the perfect will of God is Jesus. And he healed them all. We cannot lower the standard. I don't care how many. All that means is when I prayed for them and they died, all that means is I have not allowed the maturity process for him to have his way, like he said, the potter with the clay. I have not allowed him to fully manifest, mature Christ in me. Well, what's the answer to that? Well, I need to go to church more. I'm not against going to church. Church is great. I need to give more. I'm not against giving. Giving is great. None of those activities, none of these holy activities is going to produce it. Time with him will produce it. The word, prayer, and especially praying in the spirit, not all prayer, fasting, didn't fasting pass away with the apostles? No, it did not. And worship. These are the things that brings you, that allows that growth process. Now, when we start seeing it, I'm telling you, he's already shown me, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen like interest rate chart where it becomes exponential. See, right now we're in this low part and maybe it's growing like this, but boy, we're about to take a turn, because when it starts happening on a regular basis and you see it and other people see it, broom, 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 neural pathways are going to be created in their brain, and you start telling them, Christ will do this through you too. I mean, it's going to take off like this and it's going to become exponential, and we're going to be in the greatest revival that the world has ever seen, and you and Joel's army, you are going to be part of it. Can't wait till the next time. Love you so much. Bye-bye for now.